ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم honorable brothers in islam mothers and sisters listening at home another very powerful tool of the shaitan another very powerful tool of the shaitan is magic. Magic is something that is also mentioned in the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, magic is also mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the science of magic is an old profession and something that no one can deny. Mentioned in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Arabic language, magic is translated as sihr, sihr, with a big ha, it's a big ha, sihr. And the magician is labeled as a sahir. So sihr in the Arabic language means magic, and sahir means a magician. And that is why in the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, you will hear the word sahirin, sahirin. And sahirin is the plural form, which means all the magicians that were there in front of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, scholars have also explained to us, of course, how magic works. We need to understand that everything happens only by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no effect in anything but only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission. But khair, the scholars have mentioned that a sahir, a magician, comes into an agreement with the devil, with the shaitan. And it is a contract between the two of them. The devil, shaitan, and also that person who is a magician, a sahir. And so obviously the shaitan does not work for anyone free of charge, especially not the shaitan. And so what he does is that he will insert the seeds of kufr, if that person is not a kafir already, in the heart of that individual, a sahir. And so certain things he will have to agree to for the shaitan to assist him in that magic. So for an example, the shaitan will ask him to praise him, like how we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Aliyazubillah. The shaitan will tell him that you have to praise me. And so that person will want to also praise the shaitan, Aliyazubillah. And this is something that is like a quicksand that pushes you into kufr, into disbelief. That kufr is entrenched into you at the end of it. And so that is why the scholars have mentioned that the sahirin are really the soldiers. and the army of the shayateen, a very powerful method that the shaitan uses to grip individuals. And that is magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Scholars have mentioned that the most accomplished magician is that man who is the most impure. Who is the most impure. So the more napak you are, the more powerful you become. The most impure. So it's all about filth, impurity. So at times what will happen is that impurity will also be connected to Islam. So what he will want a person to do is that to stay in the state of janabat for many, many weeks. So he is in the state of janabat, ceremonial impurity, so that he's not done his ghusl. And for many, many weeks. And at times he will be forced to even read salah without wuzu, to make a mockery out of Islam, so that there is nothing but hatred, and that he becomes one of the shayateen. And eventually it's a form of worshipping the shayateen. That is what it leads to. And at times what happens is also to disrespect the Quran, of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what they do is that they will want to read the Quran in a decrepit manner. So to read it from backwards, from the reverse, so that you actually break the meaning and the recitation, the verses of the Quran. Aliyazu billah. To anagrammatize the Quran. This is how they work. And this is something that we need to understand. It's purely kufr. At times he will say that I want you to do sajda to that moon, that planet that is there. And so when he is doing sajda, in his mind he feels that I'm not doing sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm doing sajda to that other planet that is there. All sorts of things happen. And that is why they say that a female magician is most powerful when she does her magic in the state of her menses. In the state of her menses. So the more impure she is, that is the time the magic becomes very, very powerful. And how it is done is that the shayateen, they like a very dark room. They don't like noor, they don't like light. And so it's all performed in a very dark room. It's all about a dark room where you have a candle that is burning. And there is this entire sequence, a method that the ulama have explained how magic works. And so you have to be very, very careful. At times, that man has to also carry out immoral acts, aliyazu billah, which would also include incest. And also polytheistic acts. So for example, to indulge yourself in complete shirk. And at times you will also have to give sacrifice of animals, but not in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in the name of that devil, in the name of that shaitan. And so at times you will find that the magic is of a lower scale, and at times you will find that the magic is at its highest peak. And that is where the demand becomes greater of the devil, of the shayateen. And at times the shaitan will also ask you or force you to carry out gruesome acts. You might even have to murder someone. And he might say to you that I want the entire organ or any limb of that individual. I might want the head of that person. Bring the head to me. And so you have to kill that person. Oh, I want the blood, all the blood of that individual. Bring the blood to me. And so these are things that happen. It's actually happened, and I remember when I was in Mozambique, we were at somebody's house, and a very decent man, a Muslim man, bichara, someone knocked on his door, and when he opened the door, of course in Africa there's a lot of security, so you have to be careful. It's not as easy as this. Coming to the front door and opening the door, and there was this bag in front of the front door, just in front of him, a bag, a seal bag. So this Muslim brother, very pious man, was thinking that what is in this bag? And subhanallah, when he opened this bag, inside was a decapitated head, an African head, a man, an African man who must have been killed, and his head was there. Now you can imagine what would happen to an individual. And so immediately it might have even been something, kind of a trap, an organized crime against certain individuals. And so the police were there, and the police had taken this man, and he was actually blamed that there was some kind of magic involved, and that magic would warrant somebody's head, and so that you paid off somebody, and this poor individual, a poor man, he was sacrificed and his head was brought to this individual for sihr, for magic. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And he was actually in prison for many months. And imagine to be in prison in Africa, to be imprisoned in Africa. And so it was a very difficult moment for that individual. But it does happen. And this is sihr. It's all about filth. The more kufr and disbelief is in you, the more accomplished you are in your magic, in your sihr. The more dirty you are, the more filthy you are. And that is why you'll also find that at times you might not realize that there might even be a jinn inside a person, a devil, a shaitan, and nothing happens to that individual. But the minute you bring him to the masjid, or a pious man comes in front of him, and you will soon see that his reaction will change. It's like a fish that is taken out from water. And he will react in a very different way. Because he will not accept that environment. He will not accept that environment. So we have covered this topic about the jinns and how to protect ourselves from the shayateen and the jinns. But again, this is also a very important topic that we need to understand, that sihr, magic, is directly related to the shayateen also. And this is highly dangerous, because that takes a person immediately into the boundaries of kufr. And just to read in front of you a few verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke to the Jewish people in Medina Munawwara and explained to them that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was a Nabi, that he is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they started laughing. And they did not accept this, of course, from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would say that, look at this man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, aliyazu billah, they would not accept him as a Nabi. And the Jews would say that he calls Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam, who is the son of David, Dawood alayhi salam, as a Nabi. And we know that Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, al-iyazu billah, was a powerful magician. What was he? A very powerful magician. This was their aqidah, their beliefs. The people of Medina Munawwara, the Jews that were there. And so they would say that, how can we accept anything that comes from this man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, al-iyazu billah. And they were a difficult lot to handle in Medina Munawwara. In fact, just a few ayats before, in fact, in the same page, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited a delegation to invite them towards Islam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that wahi, revelation, comes to me via Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, that Jibreel Amin would descend from the heavens and bring down revelation to me. And so all of them started saying, are you saying that Jibreel is connected with you? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, he is the Rasul, of course, he is a malaika, and it's through Jibreel that revelation comes to me. And the Jews said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, don't you know that Jibreel is the enemy of the Jewish community? He is the enemy of the Jewish community. How can we accept your message that you are a Nabi of Allah? We would have accepted it if you said that Mikael would come to you. If Mikael would come to you, but not Jibreel. We don't like Jibreel, we like Mikael. And why Mikael? Because Mikael brings good news, and he brings rain and all sorts of things. And so Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam actually punished the Jewish community. But this was again the hukam of Allah. What has Jibreel got to do with anything as an individual, independently? He can't do nothing. But everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was how foolish they were, that they hated Hazrat Jibreel Amin. And so they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want to hear about the Quran, because the Quran comes to you from our enemy, who is Jibreel. And we like Mikael. So maybe if there's a transfer, then we can look into the matter. Aliyazu billah. And verses of the Quran were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kana aduwan lillahi wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi wa jibreel wa mikal. That person who is the enemy of Allah and the angels and the prophets, and especially Jibreel and also Mikael, وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Then for sure Allah is the enemy of the kuffar. That if you are the enemy of Allah, the angels, the Rasul, the prophets, and Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah is the enemy of those who do kufr. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And so it was very difficult for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to explain to this community, because every time Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would want to open up a dialogue with them, they would always have something there, some excuse to prevent from accepting the truth. And so going back to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَاتَّبَعُوا. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that Sulaiman alayhi salam was a Nabi, and they rejected that, Allah says, and that they followed that which the shaitan recited, عَلَى مُلْكِ Sulaiman, during the reign of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, during the khilafat of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And what it means is that during the time of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, magic was at its highest peak. Babylon at that time also was, everything there was about magic. Magic was at its highest peak. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a lot of powers to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so what shaitan did is that when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, this great Nabi of Allah would have his own seating, a mimbar, a throne or an arsh that he would sit on. For he was the king of the people. And so when he passed away, what Shaitan did is that Shaitan buried a lot of amulets and incantations under the arsh, under the seat of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what Shaitan did. And so this can happen at times. That's why you'll find that sometimes you will have an amil that will come to your house, and obviously he wants money. He wants money. It's like if you take your car to a mechanic, you know, he will find the fault. He will find the fault. Nothing, then £5 or £10 will be taken away from you. But forgive me if somebody's here, somebody's a mechanic here, no offense. But this is what they do. And so when he goes to somebody's house, the amil might say that, oh, you know, there's sihr, there's magic that's done in this property. And so what's the proof of that? So he might say that, right, you see that chandelier? if you scrape the plaster close by to it and just try to scrape it. And so that man will go, the owner of the house will try to scrape it. And all of a sudden you'll find from nowhere a ta'weez popping out. A ta'weez that just comes out. Now what's this ta'weez doing there? What's this ta'weez doing there? When you look at the list of all the homeowners before this Muslim individual that had moved here, perhaps all of them were English people. All of them were English people, but you have a ta'weez that is stuck up there, near the ceiling. So what happens is that his very own jinn has the ability at great speed to put a ta'weez there, or to put something there, an amulet there, or something there. Just to, of course, win the hearts of the people there, that you see this man is a great amil and there is ta'weez there, and so there is some kind of magic that is happening. So the shaitan can do that. And so the jinns, the shayateen, actually did this. They put all amulets and incantations under the seating of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, the devil came to the people and said that Sulaiman alayhi salam was not a Nabi, he was not a prophet aliyazu billah, but he was a magician. He was a magician. And proof of that is that I want you to dig here, especially in this location where the seating of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is. And they dug open that area and they found a lot of ta'weez, amulets, incantations and all sorts of things. And slowly, there were rumors amongst the people at that time that there is a possibility that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam aliyazu billah was not a Nabi, but he was a magician. And so this was the same aqidah, the same belief of the people, Jewish tribe in Medina Munawwara. And so that is what they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that according to us, Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, was not a Nabi, but he was a magician. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated this great man, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا كَفَرَ Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not do kufr. And in this verse, subhanallah, the meaning is that if a person does magic, he is doing kufr. And therefore Allah is saying that Sulaiman alayhi salam did not do kufr. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But it was the devils, the shayateen, that did kufr. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. And what they did is that it was the shayateen that would teach people magic. The shayateen would teach people magic. And so we will end here. Of course, then the next ayah talks about what had happened in Babylon, about Harut and Marut and the story of magic there. But just to give you an understanding that during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, during his reign, there were a lot of magicians there. Magic was something which was very ripe. Now Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was given this ring. He was given this ring. Now this ring was again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given to him. A very special ring. A ring that he would keep to himself at all times. He would put it on, he would wear it. And this was something of his very personal, private possession. And the ulama have mentioned that there was a lot of power in that ring, of course. And power is only invested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, by this ring, everybody would be up straight in front of him. Everybody would be up straight in front of him. Now, you will find that a lot of scholars have given us some description about this ring. And I'll just mention one account which you will find in the kitabs, in the books. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, all of a sudden, he fell unconscious. He fell unconscious. And when he opened up his eyes, a group of malaika were in front of him. Angels had come from the heavens. And in total, 8 of them came to make salam to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they greeted Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, they said to him that we are the malaika, the angels that take care of the winds, that take care of the winds. And we control the winds of this earth, of this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to come to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Sulaiman alayhi salam made a dua that he wanted a kingdom that is given to no one else. A kingdom that is given to no one else. Unprecedented kingship that he, the kingdom given to him is not given to anyone else. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the winds subservient to you. Allah has made the winds subservient to you. And because they were the keepers of Hawa, the winds, that is also mentioned in the Quran. This was the responsibility given to the Malaika. That is why during Laylatul Qadr, the responsibility is given to the Malaika. Their duties have been discharged to them. And they start this duty immediately during Laylatul Qadr. And so they say that Allah has given us this responsibility and that now you are also a shareholder. Now you are also a shareholder. And so what they did is that they said that we are giving you a jewel. Giving you a jewel. And they gave Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam a jewel. And inscribed on it was that strength and power belongs only to Allah. Strength and power belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they said to him that if you were to just face this jewel towards the heavens, immediately the winds would come to your service. The winds would come to your service. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that power. And so he accepted that. And immediately thereafter, one group ascended to the heavens, and another group of angels, second batch, came again to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And the second group of angels came to him and they greeted him and they said to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to meet you and to greet you. And we are the malaika that are responsible for all the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Creatures that are alive on earth, on dry land, and the makhluk, creatures that are deep in the ocean, deep in the seas. And so we are responsible of that. And so because you made a dua that you wanted a kingdom, that kingdom you would not share with anyone else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to you to give you this authority that all of the creatures will also be subservient to you. And so another jewel was given to who? Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so on this jewel was inscribed that all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah. All the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that jewel was also given to him. Again, the malaika said, if you face this jewel up towards the heavens, everything will be at your service. And so the second batch went. Now you have the third batch that came. Another group of malaika. They came and they greeted Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said to him, Hazrat, we are here. We are responsible for everything that happens in this dunya, on this earth, upon this earth, and also everything that happens with the seas, with the oceans. And so if there is a tsunami or if there's an earthquake that happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that responsibility is given to the malaika. And so which portion of the earth will become barren and dry, and which portion of the earth will become green and lush, the trees that will bear fruits, And so the mountains, the water, the seas, the ocean, the trees, and all that is our responsibility. And so the malaika have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this to be subservient to you, that whatever you order to any part of the earth or even to the seas, they will obey you and they will not disobey you. And so again, this third batch of the malaika also gave Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam a jewel. And upon that jewel was inscribed that the heavens and the earth are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens and the earth are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the third batch goes, subhanallah, a fourth group, very handsome angels come to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Very handsome. And they come to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, very different. And they greet him. And they say to him that we are giving you again this jewel. And upon that jewel was inscribed. Upon that jewel was inscribed. And they said to him that this is more powerful than everything that is given to you. This is more powerful than everything that is given to you. Inscribed on that jewel was La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What was inscribed on there? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was written. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam accepted the gifts that was given to him. And so what he did is that he collected all the jewels and he made of the jewels a signet ring. What did he do? He made of that jewel a signet ring. And so that at one time, if Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was to do this, all of the makhluk would come to his attention immediately. All of the makhluk, the creation would come to his attention immediately. That's why that ring was with Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam all the time. So he put all the jewels into that one signet ring and he would wear it, and anytime he wanted assistance, he would just point towards, or just point the ring towards the heavens, and immediately all the makhluk were there to listen to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Allah made everything subservient to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why also, my respected brothers, it is mentioned, this power was given to him because during his time there was a lot of magic there also. And one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah will be that when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will also be killed, and when Dajjal will also be killed, finally there will be this beast that will come out. And some say that this beast will come out from the mountain of Safa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this beast in the Quran as Dabbatul Ard. As Dabbatul Ard. And this beast will come out. He will be holding the asa of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in one hand, there will be the asa of Musa alayhi salam, and in the other hand, he will have the ring of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so what he will do, that will be the final days of this dunya. And now it will be the time for the marking to take place. The marking to take place. So there is a complete distinction between the believers and the people of kufr. So very quickly this beast will go and he will start marking people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this knowledge. The people of kufr, he will mark them with the ring of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so they will be deemed as kuffar. So he will mark them with the ring of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And with the asa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will mark the people of Iman. And so this is the history of this ring of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah ta'ala, this had to be mentioned so that we understand. In the next session, we will talk about Harut and Marut, the angels that came to the city of Babylon and what had happened, inshallah, in the next session if Allah wills. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.